Hello and welcome back to the Smitty Sports Podcast for another NFL week in review. Here again with my good friend Connor Cavanaugh after a better week of football. How are you feeling?
Doing good, man. A lot to talk about. A lot of stuff happened. Some big injuries, some suspensions. Let's not waste any time. Let's get right into it.
Yeah, suspensions for sure. Injuries, definitely. Chargers Chiefs week one on Thursday Night Football. Probably a game everyone was looking forward to, and it definitely played out that way. Spectacular game. A couple big takeaways from this game. I think both quarterbacks played exceptional. I think Mahomes played a little bit kind of... He played like Mahomes second half. He kind of just fizzled out. He played not to lose football as well, I think. Travis Kelce was non-existent in that game, which was a great job by that Chargers defense, which... I was excited at least to see. I'm pretty sure you were too, to see how they stacked up against a good Kansas City offense. And they did pretty decent of a job, I would say, overall. They turned the ball over once. And on the Chargers offensively, Justin Herbert was a warrior in that game. He stood in there. He ended that game, gave him a great chance for a winning drive with a hurt ribs, was it? He banged around his ribs a little bit.
Took a big hit
and delivered a really good ball late in this game to set this team up for a possible chance to win the game. Fortunately, it didn't work out that way. But how do you see this game going?
To be honest with you, it kind of went just as I expected. Yeah. I mean, two really good quarterbacks, two really good overall teams, powerhouses in that division. And Patrick Mahomes just got the best of Herbert. I mean, I thought Herbert played really well. He had over 300 yards passing. And like you said, he did get banged up. He took a couple of really big hits in that game against Kansas City. So for me, I mean, a really good game against two really good teams. Patrick Mahomes came out on top. I think he's, you know, obviously at this point a little bit more experienced in bigger games. I think even though Absolutely. It was week two, definitely a bigger game. So, you know, I thought both offenses were pretty good, and I thought the defenses made stops when they had to. Close game, and Mahomes comes out on top.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. I was a little bit worrisome about the Chargers' offense in the red zone, specifically because Austin Eckler didn't really get carries, red zone carries. Didn't get a lot of clutch carries, and they were handing the ball off to players like Sony Michel. They were playing a lot of small ball, going to their tight ends. What was the first score of the game that they had? Xander Horvath? I mean, I don't know who Xander Horvath is, but congratulations. I would like to see a lot more Austin Eckler. I think he's a legit playmaker for them. He's just a small dude that's quick. He's been very good pass catcher for them. He had good pass catching stats. He did have 55 yards receiving on 9 catches. But I think the guy absolutely needs to be utilized more. He's a staple to that offense. Without him, they might be able to fall behind, especially with Keenan Allen not there. And speaking of a player that, you know, didn't fall behind, that looked to fall behind, was Mike Williams.
Yep,
bounced back for sure. He played incredible. 8 catches, 113 yards, a touchdown for Mike Williams. His first half was almost flawless. Didn't really get too much action in the second half, but that's a big takeaway for me. They're going to need that guy to step up big time because they can't afford to these guys to miss time and not produce if they want to stay up to date or up to speed in that division. That's going to be very tough. But overall, like you said, good games. Chiefs came out on top, and it'll be exciting every week from now on for those divisions. For
sure. Yeah, like you said, Austin Eckler's got to get more production, not even just in the red zone, just in general. I mean, for this guy, 14 carries, 39 yards, only 2.8 per carry, especially with Keenan Allen out. This guy was such a big part of their offense last year. I don't know why through these first 2 weeks it seems like he hasn't been as much of, you know, a factor, you know, in what they're trying to do on the offensive end. But this guy's a special player. He could do it in the passing game as well. They need to get him more involved.
I agree. I'm excited, though. I think they'll be fine. The Chargers are a really good offense, and yeah, you got to use your playmakers when you have them, especially when one of your key ones is not there. And I guess that means we'll transfer over to a team and a game that had plenty of playmakers, plenty of big plays, in the Dolphins-Ravens game, because holy, what a game. It looked like the Ravens were going to run away with this game early. I mean, they were up. What was it? They were up a lot, 17, 20 points. It was 35-14. They were up basically 21 points, and they just... fell completely flat on their face. I don't know. Their defense couldn't stop anything. I know Baltimore's defense isn't as good as it was in the past, but they got torched in that fourth quarter. They couldn't stop it at all. I mean, it was just chunk play after chunk play after chunk play. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle couldn't have really played better to help to uplift this team.
No. I mean, to your point, Miami outscored Baltimore 28-3 in the fourth quarter. So,
unbelievable.
I mean, you're not going to win games in the NFL when you lose the fourth quarter by three touchdowns. It's just not going to happen. I mean, if you're Baltimore, I mean, you have to like what Lamar Jackson gave you. I mean, he gave you 318 with three touchdowns and a 142.6 passer rating. I mean, that's a really good day for Lamar Jackson in the air. I mean, Tua, he threw six touchdowns, but he did have two picks. And if you're Baltimore, like you said, this is all on the defense. I mean, you go into the fourth quarter up 35-14, you expect to win that game. Whether it's in Miami or whether you're at home, it doesn't matter. You need to win that game for Baltimore. And, I mean, defensively, they're going to have to figure out some stuff because I know Miami is you know, a really high-powered offense now with those two speedsters on the outside. But, I mean, 28 points in the fourth quarter is almost just unacceptable. I don't care who's out there on the field, but, you know, especially, you know, when you have that big of a lead going into the fourth, you got to make a stop. So,
yeah, it is unacceptable. To the point, to Baltimore's point with Lamar Jackson, he did have a great game of the air, which is a thing that every year we say every week we say Lamar Jackson is the guy, just isn't as efficient in the air, and he did it with his legs as well. He himself had over 400 yards from the line of scrimmage. Tua had over 460 yards passing, which is incredible. I got to say, at least 200 of those were in the fourth quarter, which is also bizarre. But yeah, they, as much as that defense needs to do more, that offense didn't move the ball. They were also playing, I mean, again, they're up 21. They can play not to lose football up 21 if you're, you know, just trying to move the chains, run the clock. And that goes on your defense, give it up just too many quick plays in succession. I mean, they were moving down the field in 2 minutes. They were in the end zone. Got the ball back, the same thing. Three and out, 2 minutes in the end zone. And it's unacceptable. It really is. And you expect a lot more from a team coached by Harbaugh. He's been a good coach for this team year to year. They have a system. They have a philosophy that they go by. And they're not usually a team that gives up big leads. It's really weird to me because that division, for whatever it's worth, the North Division is, I don't know, it's kind of up in the air.
So far, it's dicey.
It's up in the air. Yeah, it's up in the air. I would still think Baltimore is the favorite to come out of that division, but, I mean, you never know, really. And for Miami, a 2-0 start is great. I'm going to take away, again, huge comeback, but they were getting dominated in this game up until the fourth quarter, which I expected them to get dominated in this game. They ended up putting 42 points up. But here's what it is. That division's going to be fun. If that offense can keep going, who knows? We'll see the Bills of Miami twice a year. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, and, you know, I did start by centralizing the negativity for Baltimore. There is a lot of credit to go down for Tua and that offense, though, with the comeback. I mean, even though defensively that shouldn't happen, I mean, the days that, you know, Tyreek and Jalen Waddle and Tua had are just they were absurd numbers that they were able to put up in this game. And, you know, for me, you know, I think Miami is a really hard team to defend when you have two guys that are that quick that can, you know, really just take the tops off of defenses. That pushes the whole defense back, and then, you know, you also have Gesicki who can come underneath. I think that offense is scary. They showed it here in the second week, which, you know, we didn't see as much in week one, which is, you know, a little bit more of a, you know, lower scoring, you know, battle. But, mm-hmm. I mean, we saw what the Miami offense is capable of in this game, and a really good job by Tua, you know, to make that comeback, even though he did throw two picks early on.
Yeah, he looked a lot better. It's a week-to-week league, but he looked a lot better. You know, last week, under throws, looked a little shaky in the pocket. But this time, I mean, everything was clicking for this guy, and especially in that fourth quarter, obviously. But they both had 170 yards receiving out of Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Over 170 yards. Those guys are almost the same player. They play like the same player.
Yeah.
Which, if you get two Tyreek Hill in one offense and a capable tight end, which Mike Gesicki is,
and their run game is solid.
It's not bad. It's not a
world beater, but it's a solid you know, running back room that's going to be able to get, you know,
it's acceptable. Yards. Yeah, it's acceptable. Exactly. So that game was definitely fun to watch. I couldn't believe my eyes every time I saw the Dolphins go down the field. My jaw just kept dropping to the floor every other possession, but. You want to talk about this Browns-Jets game? Because this was interesting. there's a lot of controversy about Nick Chubb and his decision to score a touchdown on he broke away, went in for the end zone. He could have laid it down. They could have run the clock out. In my opinion, I totally understand running the clock out, and I would want to do that in different situations. In this, I really don't hate the fact to go put yourself up two scores. With a minute and a half to go, it's almost a miracle with that Jets team to go down the field and score the ball on you. And miracle happened. I'm going to stay by my take, and I don't think Nick Chubb made a bad decision. I think you go up two scores late in a game, you really should not expect to lose, especially under a minute. I mean, they got the onside kick was actually a perfect kick. It looked great, but it's just unbelievable. I couldn't believe the Jets got the win. Flacco threw great. I mean, he was clutch, and surprisingly, the Jets didn't look bad. Their defense is better than I'm going to give them credit for, and actually a good, decent defense in the league. So I'm excited to see how that defense goes on.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we're awaiting Zach Wilson's return, so, you know, we see what, you know, the Jets actually look like with the quarterback of the future, hopefully the quarterback of the future, when he's back there. But, you know, like you said, a big day for Joe Flacco. I mean, four touchdowns. I mean, I don't think we were ever going to see that again out of Joe Flacco, so that was nice to see. In terms of the Nick Chubb thing, I totally agree with you. I mean, as a Commanders fan, last year there was three games where Washington was in position to take – you know, either a lead into half or to win a game. And Antonio Gibson kind of did the same exact thing, whether it was, you know, running out of bounds instead of, you know, staying in bounds to let the clock run, or running into the end zone instead of going down and letting the clock run. But in this situation, I totally agree with you. You have a chance to go up, you know, two scores with that much amount of time left. You know, I don't blame Nick Chubb for what he did either. And
no,
like you said, it was a miracle by the Jets, a tough loss for the Browns, but you know, I don't think you could put this one on Nick Chubb running, you know, that one into the end zone, especially considering, you know, he had two touchdowns before that. So, I mean, he had a great day. So.
Yeah, he was moving. Yeah. He wasn't stopping. He saw three touchdowns on his scorecard. He was moving. But I absolutely, I mean, you don't want to, you never know. You take the chance, you run the clock out, who knows? You might fumble a snap. Something ridiculous could happen, and it's only a touchdown away. Then the Jets have decent field position, not decent field position, but they have all the time in the world. Go put yourself out comfortably and trust your defense. So this is on Cleveland's defense, absolutely, to just not get the easy job done. They're not asking to do much. It's just you can't let up a touchdown, and they let up the touchdown.
Totally agree.
Garrett Wilson was great. He was great to see the first round pick come in there and do really well, because we haven't heard his name really. I haven't heard much in camp. Didn't do anything really week one, and he broke out definitely this game. I think he had eight receptions, 102 yards, two tutties for this game, and he looked really good. If you know, when Zach Wilson gets back, if he gets the good reps with him, that could be a good duo in the future. Hopefully a start for New York.
Hopefully they have good rapport. Because to be honest with you, you know, it's nice to see what he's doing right now, but in the grand scheme, it doesn't really matter what he looks like with Joe Flacco, because Joe Flacco's not going to be there. So, you know, it's all going to come down to what his rapport is with Zach Wilson. So, you know, and obviously we don't have that answer yet. So.
No, we don't have that answer. And Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb are still the best duo in the league. Still to this day, they're still the best duo in the league. These guys have over 160 scrimmage yards together. Kareem Hunt didn't score in this game, but they're the workhorses for this team. They're going to have to be with Jacoby Brissett back there, and he's going to be there for the next, six more games? Is it 8-game suspension for Deshaun Watson?
Yes.
8-game suspension. For the next six more games, they're going to have to keep carrying this offense, because there's not much out there other than, I mean, Jacoby Brissett's very limited on what he's able to do. He's a perfect game manager type quarterback. But I don't know. Cleveland, if Deshaun Watson goes back and plays how they expect him to play, and they're just, you know, staying afloat until then, they can win the division as well. They can make a run for it. Their defense is good enough. So, yeah.
So Cleveland at 1-1, you know, they're going to host Pittsburgh next week. This week.
Right.
you know, coming up on Thursday. You know, definitely a winnable game. Two very similar teams right now, and the fact that, you know, game managing quarterbacks with a solid defense and a good running game, definitely a winnable game. And then, you know, you look at the Jets, they host the Bengals. So, you know, I don't know, you know, the Bengals are, you know, really going to need a win. We'll talk about them, you know, in a little bit. But, definitely a, you know, an opportunity for Cleveland to get back in the win column.
Absolutely. Get some wins together while you have a chance here to capitalize on your the other teams making mistakes, not playing well. Steelers are definitely vulnerable right now, and, you know, take advantage. And I hope they do. I always like Cleveland. I always root for Cleveland to do something because they were the bottom feeders of the league for so long. So it's good to see Cleveland have a decent roster, and hopefully they can make something happen. A team that doesn't make anything happen that actually won this week was the Denver Broncos. I don't know. There's still more negatives to get out of this game, absolutely, than positives. They still didn't score in the red zone. They were 0-for-3 in the red zone this game. Once again, their running backs are non-existent in the red zone. Russell Wilson and these receivers just don't look coordinated. They don't look decisive what the play calls are. I don't really know anything to take away from Denver other than they just still look sloppy, and I don't know what they're going to have to do, but they're not going to go anywhere in this division if they're going to keep playing football like this, because the Texans are a bad team. They're a bad football team, and for what it's worth, they ended up scoring a touchdown in the fourth quarter for Denver, but I mean, this was a 6-6 game at half. You can't have that. You're a completely, entirely better offense, and they should have ran through this game.
You gave up a lot of trade capital to get Russell Wilson, and then you gave him a whole new big contract. And through 2 weeks, I have not seen anything that has given me reason to believe that that's paid off. You know, like you said, at home, you know, in Denver, which is, you know, a very tough place to play, to only score 16 against a bad Houston Texans defense, and, you know, it be, you know, a super tight game up to that. You know, I don't know. I need to see a lot more out of this offense. You talked about the red zone, so I don't feel like I have to, go through that again. But I need to see more out of Russ. I mean, you know, under 50% completion percentage this week.
Bad.
And, you know, he did have a touchdown, threw a pick, you know, 219 yards. So everything else looks eh. But for Russell Wilson to be under 50% in passing attempts against a bad Houston Texans defense at home, needing, you know, to come out and have a big performance after, you know, that no-show in Seattle. I didn't see it. And like you said, I definitely need to see more.
Yeah, need to see more. And their offense is plenty capable of doing it. Jerry Jeudy had a catch this game, who should absolutely see more targets. He was their number one, their first-round pick, I think 2 years ago it was. Courtland Sutton was 3 years ago, and he had a decent game. But these guys just, they got it. I don't know what it is. They just, we can go to Nathaniel Hackett, who I think, again, is just doing an, there's some of these plays that I'm watching in this game. I watched this intently for a minute because I was intrigued of, you know, Russ's first game at home. Was it his first game at home? Yeah, game at home. You know, the opener. Start with Houston, go out and get a big win, you know, bounce back week. And I saw nothing. It's really hard for me to really stem where it is all, like, stems from. I have to point to Nathaniel Hackett, who had the blunder week one, who I think just hasn't yet so far been capable of being decisive and making great decisions in the NFL as a head coach. Yet, there, as much as you can put it on a coach, the players do have to play, obviously. But something's going on in that clubhouse. It's not pretty.
I said it last week, and, you know, I'll say it again. If Nathaniel Hackett was starting his NFL coaching career on the Houston Texans, nobody's going to care that he's having these problems early on. These are adjustment periods for young head coaches that all of them go through. They all have to figure out, you know, how to navigate a football game in the NFL as the top guy. But when you put a guy like that on a playoff-caliber football team, these problems are big problems. For me, I don't understand the hiring, and I'm just going to stand by that. But I also think, you know, he is, you know, a rookie head coach. You do have to give him a little bit of time to get acclimated, and obviously he's not going to get as much time as, you know, a head coach who's going to be on a bad team. But he does need a couple of weeks, in my eyes, to at least get a little bit of a feel for managing, you know, a football game start to finish. And then we can really start taking a look at what he's doing and if it's really hurting the team or not.
Do you think it's super early to say they lose this game to Houston? They're 0-2. Losses against Seattle and Houston. Bad football teams. Would you think there's a little bit more fire under him after those 2 weeks with the team that they got? Or do you think there'd still be the waiting out period since they won the game? Or do you think, you know, like you said, give it time, no matter really what happens, and just see if they can get something out of them?
I think the public would put more pressure on them because, you know, like you said, two bad teams to start off, you know, the season with a new quarterback, that's a gift. I mean, you have two games where you don't have to play that well and you can come out with two wins, have confidence, feel good. Do I believe that he should be scrutinized a ton if they were to lose these two games? Not really, but I do think the public perception of him would be crazy. I mean, against Seattle, that blunder was really bad. I'm not trying to defend him. I just think, you know, it's really early for him, and you need to give, you know, head coaches, just like you need to give players, a little bit of time to feel things out. I mean, rookie head coaches, rookie quarterbacks, they come in and they need a little bit of time to adjust, and he's not getting that time because he's been thrown into, you know, a playoff caliber
team. Exactly. Yeah. I totally agree with your statements for sure. I don't know what to expect. I don't know where they are next week. Do we know where they are next week? These Denver Broncos? Because if they get a really good football team, I think I got it up here. The Denver Broncos next week play where? Where do they play?
San Francisco comes to town.
That's interesting. On Sunday Night Football. That's going to be a good defense playing up against. I better see something.
That's another thing. First three games of his head coaching career, that's going to be the second primetime game. So,
yeah,
all incredible. Of the attention is on this rookie head coach. A lot of pressure.
Yeah, public perception is a big thing in the NFL as a head coach. You get a lot of flames and flack for your inability to adjust in games and your inability to just get wins, especially as a rookie head coach. You're going to get scrutinized. It's just how it works. So, you know, a new hire comes in, you expect more, you don't see it, you're going to throw everything on him. That's the only reason why I'm a little thinking there's a little more pressure than it really is on him. And I hope he doesn't feel it, because he needs to come out and at least show a fight against a good San Fran defense next week. But that's enough of the Broncos, because I can go on a tangent with these guys, because they piss me off.
Yeah, no, they do.
They should be better.
They're frustrating.
They're really frustrating. I would hate to be a Denver Broncos fan watching these games. My eyes would bleed. But yeah, I might as well have to bleed when I watch the Bengals play Cooper Rush, right? They don't got to bleed, hopefully. They end up bleeding. The Cowboys won the football game, which I don't think a lot of people saw coming. I think they could possibly compete, because you said this last week, Cooper Rush has acclimated to that offense already, so it's not like he's not going to know what to do. If he just throws the ball where he's got to throw the ball, they'll be in the game. And with no wide receivers in this, there's no wide receivers, on this team, other than CeeDee Lamb and Noah Brown,
which he does have a good rapport with. I'm guessing from, you know, the scout teams and
practice squad stuff like that.
Yes, he did seem to have a very good rapport with Noah Brown in that game.
Yeah, he went early, scored a touchdown early with him right out of the gate, which was nice to see. I mean, obviously, I don't want the Cowboys to win games as an Eagles fan, and I'm sure you don't as a Commanders fan, but it's weird. Cincinnati needs to win this game. I mean, they simply have to. This is a bounce back. They got to win this game. It's set up perfectly for them.
Yeah, I thought I thought this game was more about Cincinnati not doing what they were supposed to do than Dallas doing what they're supposed to do. Listen, Skip Bayless. I'm sure a lot of people know who Skip Bayless is. Huge, diehard Cowboy fan. He's coming. After this game, you know, he's going on the air saying that, you know, when Dak Prescott comes back, you know, there's a chance that they continue to go at Cooper Rush. Everybody needs to pump the brakes a little bit on that. I mean, he had a pretty solid first half. He looked like he was able to make, you know, the correct reads and keep the offense moving, but he wasn't throwing the ball downfield. He wasn't making, you know, these really good plays that, you know, you see Dak make sometimes. And I don't think Dak is, you know, a great quarterback, but I think he's obviously better than Cooper Rush. For me, this game was about Cincinnati. I mean, you know, we've seen a ton of sacks through these first two games from the Bengals O-line, which, you know, is, you know, a whole new makeshift O-line that, you know, was supposed to be better. And, you know, I can't remember if I said this, you know, on or off the podcast, but, you know, you do have to give those guys a couple of, you know, weeks to gel as well together as a group. But it's been really bad. And even without the pressure, I feel like Joe Burrow's feeling the pressure even when it's not there. He's starting to see ghosts. There was a couple of throws in that game that, you know, he had open receivers down the sideline for, you know, easy, like 8 to 10 yard catches, you know, plays that just keep drives going.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just sailed them. Like, Joe Burrow does not look good right now. The O-line does not look good. Joe Mixon got a little bit banged up towards the end of the game. Hopefully that's not, you know, anything that's going to hinder them in week three. And, you know, for Dallas, you played a good enough first half to hold them off. Micah Parsons is ridiculous, and yeah, I hate to say that as a Commanders fan, but he's going to haunt me in this division for years to come. Dallas had to win this game defensively, and they did.
Yeah, they did. They had 6 sacks in this ballgame, 9 quarterback hits, 5 alone from Micah Parsons. Got the quarterback 5 times, which, again, is not good. You said makeshift line, and they did pay. They did pay to get a better line, and maybe it's one of those things where you just throw a bunch of guys out there that just, you know, it's like, sometimes there's teams that have, you know, schemes, of course. Like, you're going to be a run offense. Some of these guys might be pass blockers, might be run blocking linemen, locking guards, and they'll gel. I think they'll be okay in the future, but, I mean, this is 2 years now where he's been just running for his life every game. He did it to get to the Super Bowl because Ja'Marr Chase is an unbelievable player.
Yeah.
Obviously. I think he got held down this game, did he not? For his standards, he had 5 for 54. Ja'Marr Chase didn't do anything.
T. Higgins was the more featured receiver in this game.
Yeah, he was. He was. And I don't hate to say it, but not Stephon. Oh, my goodness. Stephon Diggs. He was great. He's spectacular. But Trayvon Diggs actually played a pretty good football game.
He did.
He looked pretty decent.
The first overall, like, really solid defensive football game I've seen him play. I mean, obviously, he's a big playmaker, but he makes a lot of bad mistakes. I mean, I saw a couple really good tackles out in open space from him on Sunday, which, you know, I hadn't seen up to that point. Kind of really saw him come into his own, and if you're a Cowboy fan, that does have to be promising, because he is, you know, if he can, you know, improve and, you know, become a better, you know, just, you know, solid defender, just, you know, not just being, you know, an interception guy, it's going to make this defense that is already pretty scary all that much better. I mean, they led, you know, they held the GOAT in week one to 19 points in a loss, but held the GOAT to 19 points. And now a Cincinnati offense that was really good last year and was a Super Bowl team last year to 17. So,
yeah.
Defensively, really strong start for Dallas, and they're going to need it to continue until that comes back.
Absolutely. Speaking of defense, I think the Cincinnati defense is underwhelming. Definitely underwhelming, because they have some guys that can actually get to the quarterback that didn't. And their O-line for Dallas is not healthy. Without your left tackle, which is a big, big spot in the NFL, they didn't take advantage. They had 1 sack on the day. They hit the quarterback 3 times, 4 times, which isn't, you know, awful, but you got to give pressure to Cooper Rush. He was able to just be comfortable and do his job. And I think Cincinnati, someone, if you're, you know, your offense is struggling in a game like this where you have a backup quarterback, go make some plays for your guys. They didn't. They let up multiple big plays. They let up a 46-yard gain, a 25-yard gain, a 28-yard gain. I mean, those are big chunk plays, and that sets them up for success for sure. Now, they didn't give up as many points. They gave up 20 points, which is fine. You hold a team 20 points, you should be able to offensively win ballgame.
But when you don't score a touchdown until the fourth quarter, that's kind of tough.
That hurts you. It's a little too late. They look better late, and, you know, it bites them in the ass. It's all right, though. It's all right. Because Cincinnati is, I don't know. They'll be fun to watch. I hope. I really hope. Because Joe Burrow needs to get back to that swaggy Joe Burrow. Joe Scheisse needs to come back. He looks like he's pressing early in the season. You don't like to see that. So I hope he, you know, figures this out. But until then, I guess we'll see.
One more thing before we go. Next week, Cincinnati's in the Meadowlands. They're playing the Jets. That's a game you have to win.
You got to win
that. You cannot go to 0-3.
Mm-mm.
You know, especially with that third game being against the Jets and Joe Flacco. I know Joe Flacco had a big day. That is a absolute 100% have-to-win, must-win game for the Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, this is another game now that you said the Jets. I mean, they played the Steelers week one, who offensively does not even come close to
compete.
They're
not impressive.
They should have won. Dallas, offensively, not impressive at all. They should have won this game. Next week, the Jets aren't really impressive offensively. They have to win that game. They score 0-3 against these opponents with, I mean, the Cowboys aren't a bad opponent. Defensively, they're really good. But there's no offense being scored from these teams that they're playing. And they're not capitalizing. And if they don't turn it around quick, it's only going to get harder as the season goes on for them to get out of that hole. So, we'll see. The Jets, you know, they're putting up fights. So, I'm excited.
You know who didn't put up much of a fight in the first half was my Washington Commanders in Detroit, man. Really tough first half. 22-0 Lions at halftime. You know, Carson Wentz figured it out in the second half, was able to make it a game, but defensively, Washington's, you know, got a ton of problems right now. Just giving up a ton of yards. Amon Ross St. Brown had the game of his life on Sunday.
Oh my goodness, yeah, he did.
You know, I'm not. You know, to be honest with you, I'm not. I like what I've seen out of Carson Wentz. To be honest with you, defensively is where really my concerns are with Washington. What did you see from this game? You know, positives for Detroit, negatives, you know, for Washington, or you know, just anything that you know you took away from you know the Lions getting their first win of the year.
The Lions are better than I expected, and again, I said this last week. They're dogs. They fight.
Yeah, they really do. Good fighting.
They claw. So. Yeah, yeah. They claw and scratch in these games, and you know they still are living off that hype, and they had a second home game in a row, so they're still home. You know, you got the crowd into it a little bit, and their wide receivers are playing over the top. DeAndre Swift is still playing great football. He's a great player. So these guys are making plays. They're exciting to watch. I think my biggest takeaway is Jared Goff isn't playing losing football.
He's not.
You know, you don't know what to expect from Jared Goff because he's been bouncing around now a couple years. I think he's found a home, at least for now, where he's more than capable to get the job done. He's getting the job done. He did take 3 sacks this game, but he threw for, 256, 4 touchdown passes. 2 to Amon St. Brown, who was, again, great, 9 for 116. I mean, my takeaway from this Lions game is they're going to be in every game. And I don't think it really – I might go out of a limb. I don't think it's going to matter who they really play. I think they're going to put up a fight. I don't think they're really going to get blown out because, I mean, I thought they were going to blown out week one after the start that the Philly had, and they didn't. They came right back, scored 20 points back, and got them into the game and only lost by 3. Which is impressive. As for the Commanders, I think Carson Wentz is doing more of the 2017, 2018 Carson Wentz.
Through two weeks, he's the second highest in passing yards right now.
Yeah, he's throwing 337, 3 touchdowns. He got sacked 5 times. I still think he has that I got to make every play mentality. He still's got that's all he wants to do is make every play, which. When he was with the Eagles, I lived and died by that because it was working. You know, you say, you know what, go extend every play you can. It's working. When it doesn't work, it looks bad. Then the critiques come, and he's got to throw the ball away. But no, he looks pretty good, and it's big to see him bounce back after a really tough first half, and really give this team a chance. They made it a 1-score game, I believe, at one point, right?
Yep.
So they gave him a chance. He didn't play bad at all, and I still think Curtis Samuel's playing above and beyond still. It's kind of incredible because he was a guy that's just kind of was on Carolina, got left out when DJ Moore got there, didn't see as many snaps over Robbie Anderson got his snaps. And now he comes to Washington and he's really turned it on as a really good player. Same with, same with Dotson. I mean, he's more of a, I don't know what your feelings on Dotson. He scored a couple touchdowns. That's been helping him a lot. But I think he's another good young receiver that absolutely can help when Terry McLaurin's not making big plays because I want to see more of him. He hasn't really done it too much for me. I mean, he had 75 yards, 4 catches this past Sunday. But I want to see more of Scary Terry. How about you?
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, definitely. I mean, you know, Terry's my guy. I mean, Terry, you know, he's the ultimate leader. You know, he's a hell of a wide receiver, you know, top wide receiver in football. You know, I have all the respect in the world for Terry McLaurin. And I definitely, you know, do want to see – you know, more out of him, even though I'm not worried about
him. No,
it all.
I'm not
you
worried.
Know, I think Carson's done a really good job through these first 2 weeks of spreading the ball around.
Yeah, he has.
So, and, you know, honestly, when you have a quarterback that can make all the throws like Carson can, you have a lot of guys on this offense that can make plays. I mean, Logan Thomas had a touchdown in this game. Obviously, you talked about Curtis Samuel. You talked about Dotson, McLaurin. That's already 4 guys right there, you know, without talking about, you know, 2 guys in the backfield that can also catch the ball in Gibson and J.D. McKissick. So, you know, there's a lot of guys to get the ball to. So, you know, I do think we might see a little bit less, at least early on in the year, from Terry. But once him and Wentz, you know, really gel and, you know, he sees, you know, really what Terry can do, I'm not worried
about Terry.
That
offense can be fun to watch. That you know, receiving core can be very fun to watch.
Yeah.
I don't think I didn't really like what I saw for Antonio Gibson this game. I really think once, you know, Brian Robinson rests up and gets back, he'll get back on his full horse.
You stole my thunder. I was just going to say that.
Because he's that change of pace guy that he's, I think he's faster. He's a better catcher of the football, and he can do more. I don't dislike Antonio Gibson, but he just doesn't work for what this team is. Does that make sense? At least from an outside perspective, I don't think he's the type of running back that the team needs. Like, the J.D. McKissic works great because that's what the team is, especially with a quarterback like Carson Wentz now, who's going to be throwing the ball a lot more. I mean, how many attempts? He had 46 passing attempts this game. Now that has a lot to do being down 22.
Being down. That's what I was going to say. We do have to give a little bit, a little bit less of, you know, a shot at Gibson just because, you know, at the end of the first quarter, you're already abandoning the run. But I do agree with your overall sentiment about him.
But, that's exactly. So it's a lot of attempts when you're down, you know, it makes sense. But I don't really have any other takeaways. I think Aiden Hutchinson had a really, really good game for the Detroit Lions. He's going to be really fun to watch. Him and Micah Parsons start the year fantastically.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's another thing for the Lions. They have a defensive lineman that can make plays. They have a defense, at least, that can get pressure. And they got pressure on Carson. Carson just made some nice throws and made some nice plays, extending plays. But, yeah, Detroit, good win from Detroit. I don't know where they go next week. Do they start any games, you know, in-division games next week, possibly?
Yeah, it's weird. We've only seen
a few.
We've only seen them play two NFC East. Yeah. So far, they do. They're going to Minnesota next week, so.
I don't know.
Which the Vikings.
Detroit, you know, man.
The Vikings
going to
didn't
Minnesota.
Really give me anything good this week.
I wouldn't be surprised if they win that game. I probably expect them to win that game, to be honest with you. It's pretty crazy. I mean, Justin Jefferson should bounce back, but we'll see. We'll talk about that when we get there. We'll move on to a game that I really don't want to have to stick in. We always talk about the slow start from Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers last year and how, you know, oh my goodness, is he gonna he should retire? The guy, you know, he had Devontae Adams last year. He don't got it. It's just the nature of not playing. The guy's got to get some reps. These guys are brand new players. Basically, they're playing with these receivers have not got any run with him at all. And Al Lazard looked pretty good. I would say you got who's his name again? Is it Watson? Watson. It is
Christian Watson.
Christian Watson. He looked better. He didn't drop a ball that was wide open this time, which was an improvement. Yeah. But Green Bay did their job. They just ran through Chicago. I think Justin Fields looked silly. He couldn't really get anything going against in that offense. He had 96 total yards rushing and passing, I believe. Something around those lines.
He only had 70 yards through the air,
which is, you know, again, 40, they don't really have anything.
43.7 rating.
Yeah, that's bad. That's very bad. They don't. Chicago, they're going to be a bad team. The whole week one thing, I think we said it perfectly last week, was just one of those games where you're playing in a free for all, and they took advantage. They made a big play when, you know, they had to. But the Chicago team isn't anything special. Green Bay ran through them, and I think they'll be the Green Bay will be okay. I don't know still. If I picked them to win the division, I would probably pick them to win the division. It is Green Bay. It is Aaron Rodgers. That defense is legit. So we'll see. I mean, for what it's worth, the NFC North is kind of interesting with if Detroit's going to play football like this. We'll see. I don't know. But I don't know. Do you have any major takeaways from this game? I really don't have any takeaways at all from Green Bay.
Nothing really that you didn't say. I mean, yeah. Chicago's bad. You talked about how last year we saw a really bad opening week game for Green Bay, and then they bounced back, won the division. Rodgers won the MVP. This is exactly what they did. I mean, they got pounced last week by Minnesota. They come back against Chicago. You know, really an easy game. Rodgers didn't do anything crazy. Aaron Jones with a big day. That is the one.
Yeah, Aaron Jones. I forgot.
You know, 132 yards on the ground for him and a touchdown. But, you know, other than that, you know, this is the Green Bay Packers. They're in a different class than Chicago. Yeah. And, you know, that's I don't really have anything else to say.
One thing I want to say about Justin Fields is I don't know if I can really judge him as a quarterback still. I mean, I don't think he's anything special throwing-wise.
It's tough because
the guy's got
so
nothing.
So
I mean,
bad.
Darnell Mooney is his one. Cole Kmet's not. I mean, you know, you expected more out of him. He's done nothing. These guys are not helping him. Obviously, that's just a general manager, and they're going through a tanking period. So it is not tanking, but they're going through a rebuilding period, not a tanking period. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I think Justin Fields is a better player. I'm excited to see if, you know, they get something up front at least for him to maybe use his legs more, which he has. But Enough Bears talk. There's no point in Bears talk. That's okay though. What other game? Speaking of running quarterbacks, Trey Lance and the Niners. Trey Lance is out for the year with a broken ankle, which is really tough to watch. I'm sure we saw the play. It was a gruesome injury, and I hope he rests up and gets well soon. But Jimmy G's the quarterback now in San Fran, and can magic happen with Jimmy G, you think?
I'm going to be honest with you. what else did we expect from the San Francisco 49ers? This is what happens every year with this team. I don't know why. I don't know if it's the training staff. I don't know if, you know, it's the weather in San Francisco. I don't know.
It's beautiful weather in San Francisco.
They are always hurt. I mean, you know, week one, obviously their starting running back goes down. Now Trey Lance goes down. And I do want to say, you know, I feel really bad for the kid. You know, he was getting his opportunity, you know, to start this year. And he is done for the year. So, you know, hopefully, you know, mentally he can stay, you know, in the game enough. And, you know, this won't hurt him too much. And, you know, like you said, you know, hopefully he comes back, you know, rested and ready to go next year. In terms of Jimmy G, I actually think Jimmy G probably gives him a better chance to win games right now.
I agree.
So, you know, for me, you know, just looking at the standpoint of pure football, I don't really think this does much in hurting San Francisco. I kind of expect San Francisco to kind of just keep, you know, humming along with Jimmy G. You know, he's been in the system. He was their starter for the last couple of years. He knows what he's doing. All the guys are comfortable with him. Yeah, they're all comfortable with him. You know, a lot of the, you know, playmakers on offense haven't changed. So, you know, they're all comfortable with him. And, you know, I really don't expect San Francisco to miss a beat in terms of, you know, offensively. And, you know, they took care of, a bad Seattle, you know, defense. And I think Geno Smith, you know, we saw the real Geno.
Yeah, so. The real Geno came out. You're right. He did come out. You know, Geno is just, he's Geno. He's a backup quarterback. It's what he is. Nothing against the guy. He just isn't something special. But I'm going to bring up the Broncos again. This is what the Broncos should have done. If this offense, I don't think I don't think anyone can say this. The San Fran offense isn't what the Denver offense is on paper. And they just buried him. I mean, they really did. They buried him. Seattle couldn't stop a lick. Just in the air, on the ground. Tyler Lockett had a big day, which was the only positive for Seattle, I would say. It's been kind of non-existent for DK Metcalf so far this year. Yep. Again, he has Geno Smith throwing the football. But they got to get the guy more involved. I mean, they gave him a huge contract. You got to try to get him the ball more. Rashad Penny isn't cutting it for me. I think we all know Seattle's not a great team, and they're probably going to be the bottom of that division. And San Fran might have a cakewalk that division. I don't know. Arizona's okay. I'm not as size as Arizona as other people are, though.
They wrote Geno Smith off, and this week he wrote back.
He sent it back. That's right. He did. He sent it back. Poor Geno. But, you know, it was also one other thing. First game for the backup full starting, Jeff Wilson. Got his, you know, first start after the Eli Mitchell injury. He had a pretty decent game, 84 yards on the ground, which is nice to see. They also had their rookie, I believe, Terrion Davis-Price, who I kind of liked. He's more of an Austin Eckler type guy. So I kind of like him, but I don't think their rushing attack will be fine with Debo. He runs the ball just as much as the other guys. Their offense is built for Jimmy G just to, you know, get guys' balls. That's
any
it.
Running back that is in that Kyle Shanahan scheme will be good.
Yeah, it will.
The scheme in the offensive line is that good. Kyle Shanahan is a mastermind, and, you know, they just churn out running backs. Every single running back
it's incredible.
They perform. So, you know, obviously, you know, you want to see Elijah Mitchell in there, but, you know, they're still going to have, you know, a good running attack.
Definitely. I definitely agree. You want to talk about Tom Brady and the New Orleans Saints and Jameis Winston's pain everywhere? And there was definitely a lot of pain everywhere.
There was.
In his throwing attack, because holy smokes,
there was
that guy.
Pain at some other places in that game, too. You know?
Yeah, there was.
Marshawn Lattimore's back might be sore today.
he still might be limping around, hunchbacking around.
Tom Brady, you know, pulls out a win, you know, against a team that he, you know, has not had success with since he's come over to Tampa Bay. We saw the bad side of Jameis Winston this week with it was three picks, right?
Three picks, yeah.
And
six sacks.
Yeah. So, you know, we saw the bad of Jameis Winston. New Orleans couldn't get anything, you know, going offensively, you know, because of all those interceptions and the turnovers and the sacks. You know, it's hard to get offense going, you know, when stuff like that's happening. And, you know, the Tampa offense did not look great. I mean, you know, Tom Brady has not looked very good through these first 2 weeks. I think, you know, the off-the-field stuff, you know, might be on his mind a little bit. I think, you know, he's got some other stuff going on and, you know, don't need to get into that. But, you know. They don't look very good right now. They're banged up. You know, obviously, I think we'll touch on the Mike Evans suspension, but, you know, Godwin, you know, is out. Julio Jones didn't play in this game. Mm-hmm. You know, his primary target once Mike Evans was, you know, thrown out of the game was Scotty Miller. So, you know, they're kind of decimated offensively right now. And, you know, they're playing Green Bay next, you know, this upcoming week. So, you know, it's going to be a big test. And, you know, now with Mike Evans not being able to play, it's going to be more decimated. But, you know, I didn't really, you know, nothing really was, you know, crazy, you know, stood out to me from a football perspective, you know, about this game. You know, really just, you know, the Winston struggles and,
right.
And the Mike Evans, Marshawn Lattimore stuff.
I agree. I don't think if I had to pick a quarterback to make this offense work with a Scotty Miller, a Rashad Perryman, a Russell Gage, and a Cameron Brate, I'll pick Tom Brady. But he's, you know, I'll pick Tom Brady.
It's a great point.
I mean, he did his whole career in New England other than, I mean, yeah, I can't say that. He's really not on the team. But I think Tom Brady can make it work. But you're right. He hasn't looked great. And it's kind of like a little bit worrisome because they are 2-0 and their defense is going to have to carry. And they're good enough to carry.
And they have so far.
And they have. They've done it really well.
I mean, 3 points, you know, they gave up 3 points in Dallas.
And Dallas,
you know,
is a good offense. At week one, they have a very good offense, at least, with the health that they had. So, I don't know. I don't really know what to expect from Tampa next week. I don't think they win that game. Would I be surprised to win a game? Maybe a little bit, because they don't got really any weapons. But it's the same boat for Green Bay. But I think it's a little bit different. Green Bay, they've been, you know, now they have a game with those guys. Those are the guys who are going to play. These guys are just plugging in because they have to play. And we'll see how it goes. I think Tom will make something work, and I think this team will be all right. But I don't know. We'll see the future. As for the Saints, they're 1-1 now. They put up 10 points in this game. Jameis Winston didn't have a great game. They had a chance to maybe win this game late. Well, they had a lead at first. They had a field goal lead, but they had a chance to win this game. Jameis threw it away, literally threw it away. And the rest was history after the pick six. They didn't stop anything. They couldn't score a point. They couldn't move the chains. They didn't have any Alvin Kamara in this game, which is big. With no Alvin Kamara in this game, I don't know what this offense is for. For New Orleans. I don't know what it's going to be. I mean, they have some guys. They have some weapons. Obviously, Michael Thomas, weapon. Chris Olave played really well. Mm-hmm. But you're getting the up and down of Jameis Winston, like you said. This is going to be a flip flop every week. One good, one bad. You know, and I think it's the same thing. Their defense is going to have to carry them as well. If they don't, I don't know what really to expect here, because their biggest playmaker is not playing, and he's hurt, and was banged up week one. He played through it. He's banged up again week two. Now he's out. He might be out for week three. He might be a lingering injury all year. And the Saints team, who was supposed to compete with the Buccaneers for this division, it might run away.
Yeah,
because I don't think anyone in that division is really good.
Other than Tampa. Yeah. One other thing I want to point out: Leonard Fournette only 2.7 per carry in this game. He has not had a good start, you know, through 2 weeks, especially with, you know, everybody, you know, out right now, you know, in that wide receiver room. They're gonna need Lenny to put up some better numbers, or Tom's really gonna be in trouble, because he's got really nobody else, you know, that's been playing,
yeah,
you know, consistent, you know, snaps for the last couple of years,
of
besides him right now. So definitely going to need to see more out of Lenny. And, you know, one other thing I did want to point out, you know, about New Orleans is it does seem like Jameis Winston likes going to Chris Olave more during drives. And then in the red zone, he likes to go to Michael Thomas. Which,
yeah, the sure hands.
You know, I thought I'd see a little bit more, you know, production out of Michael Thomas just in terms of, you know, catches and yards. I mean, he's had, you know, a couple of touchdowns, you know, so far. He had two, you know, in week one, one today. No, sorry, Sunday. But, you know, only 9 targets in this game, 6 for 65. It does seem like Chris Olave is, you know, Jameis' favorite guy in, you know, in the normal flow of the game. And then once you get down to
right,
the red zone, he likes to
right,
go to Michael
right,
Thomas. So I did just want to point
that
out for, you know, the rookie, you know, is definitely, you know, showing what he can do early on. And, you know, it does look like Jameis likes Donald.
He looks good. Yeah, no, the rookie looks good. I like Chris Olave. He does look good. And that's good. That's good. That's something that they're going to need to help out Michael Thomas, because it's going to be a one-dimensional offense and it's going to be just Michael Thomas and some guys, then this Saints team is definitely screwed, especially with Alvin Kamara out. So, no, I do like to see Chris Olave get the ball a lot and get some targets. So, I'm definitely excited. I want to actually transfer over to the Giants game, because they're 2-0, and they played a Panthers team that is just as discombobulated, which is a fun word to say, as the Denver Broncos. This is the NFC's Denver Broncos right now, and I don't know what's going on. I don't know whether to say the Giants just have been playing good football, which they have been playing good football, but Saquon didn't really do much in this game. There was no superstar play from their wide receivers. Their defense played really well, which is surprising. They don't have their front guys. And that's more just the inability for this Carolina offense to do anything offensively. I mean, not one receiver had 50 yards receiving. Christian McCaffrey was once again really a non-factor.
He had one big run.
He had one big run. That's about it.
You know, that kind of ballooned his numbers. But other than that, you know, he was not really a huge factor in the game.
Yeah, take away his 50-yard run. He's got 50 yards in the day on 14 carries. He only had four catches. I mean, that's a guy that's supposed to get the ball a lot, supposed to be your workhorse of that offense. And he hasn't really been it yet. It's early, but I don't know what to expect from this offense. It's kind of all over the place. And Carolina's a team that I really did have some good hopes on to maybe make a run in that division, because it's an open division, especially with all teams are playing sloppy, even the Buccaneers. So I don't really know. What do you think, that Carolina is more just falling down to reality, say to speak, or, you know, not what they've been, or to what they've been for the past few years? Or do you think the Giants are just playing good football and, like, they're winning games? Or is it a combination of both?
I think it's a combination of both. I mean, you know, obviously these first two games for Big Blue, they've been really good defense performances. I mean, they started off the game, you know, kicking it off to Carolina and a fumble on the kick return.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a good way to start, you know, for your defense. And they did look very good all day long defensively, as they did in Tennessee in week one. Offensively, they're still really, really bad. I mean, they have nothing going for them offensively in this game. Saquon was okay. You know, didn't really break off anything big or, you know, have a really big impact in the red zone or anything like that. You know, they you know, all they do is give him the ball. So, like, you know, he's always touching the football. Daniel Jones is just like a nothing to me.
He's a nothing man.
I never see anything good, you know, when I watch him. So, you know, the other thing is, you know, on Carolina's end is, you know, I was at this game. Baker was terrible. I mean, and we were talking a little bit, you know, before we hopped on, and, you know, we both expected, you know, to see, you know, a really good version of Baker Mayfield, you know, to start this year in Carolina. It's been horrible. I mean, he was missing wide open throws that, you know, with no pressure in his face, nothing, just, you know, just point blank missing throws. Under 50%, you know, completion percentage, only 145 yards, a 75 rating. Really bad game for Baker Mayfield. And this was a game after, you know, the blunder in Cleveland. This was a game that you had to win. If you're Baker, you should have won. It was right here for you. I mean, it was field goal, back and forth, one touchdown each side. Baker's got to play better, man. I mean, that's just all there is to it. Both defenses were good. Carolina's defense looked good to me. Baker's got to play better. I mean, they, you know, if he keeps playing like this, we might see Sam Darnold.
Is this your Sam Darnold prediction?
You
know, might come in here?
You might have to try something like that.
You're right. They might have to try it.
You know, Baker was flat out bad in this game. He did, you know, there was nothing. You know, he had one drive where he threw, you know, a pretty nice touchdown pass to DJ Moore at the end. But other than that, it was a stale offensive performance for Carolina.
Yeah, I'm seeing some of these numbers from these receivers, and it's nothing ever excites me, and they're not bad players.
No.
They're not bad players. DJ Moore, other than the touchdown catch,
only six targets for DJ Moore.
Yeah, six targets.
This guy's a really good receiver in the
league. Yeah, you
got to
force the ball. You got to force the ball. I mean, I don't know who Shy Smith is. I don't know who this guy is, but he's got six targets as well. And I don't know who he is, if maybe he's just not comfortable with DJ Moore, if that's a thing, or the guy just flat out isn't good, like you said, and he hasn't been. I don't know. I want to flip over to the Giants, though, again, and I see something that I also said last week that is, you know, a little bit worrisome again for me, and that's Kadarius Toney. The guy's not getting the ball still.
He's not even part of the offense.
He's not even in the offense. I mean, you're trusting Sterling Shepard and Richie James to be your guys, and it's like you drafted this guy in the first round. He's not even getting a chance. If there's some internal things, if there's something going on, like with maybe he's complaining about his snaps. I mean, there's a guy complaining about his snaps. His name's Kenny Golladay. The guy doesn't even see the field. That's another one. That's a lot of money that's sitting on your bench.
Yeah.
Go play him. It's not. I don't think he can hurt your offense. The reason why he was been so back and forth since he's gotten to New York because he's been injured. And I want to see the guy have a chance. He's their big receiver. He's the only big receiver on this team, really. And Daniel Jones is no bailout player. Like, he could be a bailout player. One-on-one, you might just chuck it up to him, see if he can make a play on the ball. He doesn't even play. Him and Kadarius Toney are two guys that are supposed to be staples in this offense. They should be.
Yeah, their offense is dry and really hard to watch. It's either hand the ball off to Saquon or let Saquon get about 5 yards down the field and throw a nice little check down route to him. Like, they don't do anything else offensively.
No, they don't.
They, you know, like you said, they have two playmakers that, you know, I refuse to believe that Kenny Golladay comes over from Detroit and can no longer be a wide receiver.
He can't play football anymore.
I refuse to believe it. So, like, for me, I'm thinking about it. Like, what are you doing with this guy to where he's not giving you anything? Like, nothing. He's not giving you anything.
I think he saw two snaps.
And then Kadarius Toney, like, is the same thing. I mean, you know, you drafted this guy high. Like, you know, you gotta see what you have here. I mean, even if you don't think, you know, he's very good right now, it's not like your other options, you know, in the wide receiving room are good. So
yeah,
you have to go out there and see what you have. I mean, it can't just be the Saquon Barkley show every day. He's gonna get run down. You know he's injury prone. I don't see this being a long term thing for the Giants. Might be a little bit biased, but
I don't either.
I think this is a fluke.
Do you think upper management, GM-wise, might, you know, get in the coach and say, hey, buddy, go play my guys. I brought these guys here. Play my guys. You're up. You're 2-0, you know? Go play them. Just go play them. You're up 2-0. They shouldn't really hurt your offense. You might as well see what you got because they're supposed to be good players. And you're right. Kenny Golladay doesn't forget how to play football overnight, over one offseason, over 3 months. He was an excellent player in Detroit and hasn't done anything in a year and 2 games that he's played in New York.
Yeah.
So
you have to if you're upper management. I mean,
I think it is time.
You know, Brian Daboll didn't pay Kenny Golladay. You know, the owner did. So the owner's gonna, you know, the owner's got to be sitting there thinking, like, you know, what am I doing here? Why did I, you know, why am I, you know, giving this guy a nice fat check every week for you to not even play him? Like, you know, what's the problem here? Like, the production in Detroit, you know, on another bad team. I mean, you know, it's not like, you know, we went from a really good, you know, sound offensive scheme, you know, with good players around him to a bad situation. It was bad situation to bad situation.
Yeah, it was.
You know, obviously a drop-off in quarterback play from Stafford to Daniel Jones, but, like, you know, you have to see him on the field. I completely agree with you. It's almost like he's not even part of the NFL anymore. You don't even think about him.
No,
like,
you don't.
The guy was a weekly top-of-the-board receiver. You don't even think about this guy now. It's crazy to me. I don't have an answer for it.
Well, if there is an answer for it, you got to put him on the field.
You're right. Somebody's got
to find out the answer. You don't even know the answer because,
yeah,
like, he didn't play much.
Yeah, and you don't know what you have in a guy that you drafted super early in Tony.
These guys are 2-0. I can't believe it. I mean, it's a lot from Carolina and Baker just being bad and giving them a game and giving them a chance to get in the game and kick a clutch field goal. The week before, they get down the field, they go for two, a ballsy play, and they get it and they win the game off a missed field goal. So they are 2-0, and for as much as I can't believe, they play the Cowboys next week on Monday Night Football, which they can win that game just because of their defense.
Yeah.
And it might be the flukiest 3-0 start in NFL history, and I absolutely think it is. Giants fans might disagree. I don't think they disagree, to be honest with you. If they're watching the same game we're watching, they probably know, like, holy shit, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. We're 2-0. So, I don't know. But, yeah, I think you said it best. The biggest takeaway from this game is just Baker's got to play better, and the Panthers need to start winning games. They should. And if Baker's not going to do anything, Sam Darnold's knocking on the door.
Yep.
They didn't bring him over for nothing. So,
yeah.
Want to touch on Arizona and the Vegas Raiders who blew it.
This was the complete opposite of Giants-Panthers. This was exciting. This was fun.
Yeah.
This was, you know, high-scoring football.
I mean, definitely a lot of fun. Do you have, like, any initial reactions? Do you think, you know, do you think Kyler won it? Do you think Derek Carr kind of blew it towards the end of the game? What's kind of your feel on that?
I think Vegas as a whole, coaching, Derek Carr, they just settled and just stopped putting the gas pedal down. They had a 20-0 lead in this game, I think, through three quarters, did they not?
Yeah.
Or at least 2.5. And I would say Las Vegas gave it away. I mean, they gave it away. Arizona did earn it late. They definitely earned it late. They played really well and clutch. Kyler Murray was clutch late to give him this win. But, I mean, you got to win this game if you're the Raiders. You're at home. You're up. Wait, no. Were they home? No.
Yeah.
They were home, right? Yeah, they were in Vegas. So they were home. And you got a lead, and you have the best weapon in the NFL on your team. And one of the best tight ends in the NFL on your team. With a very, very capable Hunter Renfro on your team, who had the fumble late to lose the game. But Derek Carr played an okay game stats-wise, 252, two tutties, 99 rating. He played okay. I think he could have played better in situations where he just kind of settled for the easy way out and didn't really take any chances late in this game. But my big takeaway is just Vegas needs to really just keep pushing that offense. That offense isn't bad. It's got a good supporting cast, and it could be a Derek Carr thing, which I very well could see that. I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I think he's a capable quarterback, especially in an offense like this, to do the job. But I don't know. I'm high on the Raiders to turn it around. I think they will win some games. Like, now I think they're in that, you know, like 8-9, 8-9, 10 possibly win range now, tops. And I don't know how much that's going to get you in the AFC West. It's not going to win you a division, but I don't know. I don't really know. I think the Raiders just got to keep it going, because they had this game in their hands. They let it slip, and got to credit to Arizona. They didn't quit. And Kyler Murray played probably one of his better games as a Cardinal. So, at least this season, he's played his best game, obviously. But as a Cardinal, he just was more clutch. His throwing was a lot better in this game. I mean, that's all I got, really, for the Raiders.
I mean, you said a couple of times how you were high on the Raiders, and I was even higher. I picked them to win the division. I mean, that's, you know, obviously not looking good now at the 0-2 start. For me, this is an absolute no-no. I mean, you cannot lose this game. I mean, you get off to a huge lead at home against a decimated Cardinals offense. Oh, I mean, goodness, just think about this. The leading receiver for Arizona, Greg Dortch, 4 catches for 55 yards. And you're going to lose that game at home. That just, it can't happen if you're the Raiders. I mean, I gave him a little bit of a mulligan in week one, a really good Chargers team. Derek Carr was not very good. You kind of wiped that off the slate. This was a game you had to win, especially when you started off as like you did. You let Kyler climb back in, and, you know, like you said, to his credit, he was clutch late in the game. That crazy 2-point play.
Couldn't believe that.
That, you know, he was able to convert on. But for me, this is more about the Raiders. This cannot happen, especially in this division, because it's not going to get any easier. I mean, like, you know, you're looking at the Cardinals as one of the more winnable games on your schedule this year. You got the Chiefs twice. You got the Chargers again. You got the Broncos twice. Like, this is a game you have to win. You went up early, and you let it slip away with a decimated Cardinals offense. And again, I agree, you got to give credit to Kyler, but this is a game that you have to pull out if you're the Raiders, and a really disappointing loss for them in week 2.
I agree. This is why it's weird for me. The Raiders, or not the Raiders, the Cardinals had one sack on the day. They didn't really give him that much pressure. I just think they just played soft. They played very, like you like to say, not to lose football, which is very true in this world and how it's been so far this year. A lot of teams have been blowing leads. And it's like, you're in the NFL. Teams aren't going to quit. Like, you got to go out there and play, especially when you have expectations. This team has expectations, high expectations, especially for Raiders fans. Those fans are crazy. And they want to see this team be good, and they should be a lot better than they are. Devontae Adams can't have the ball twice.
Can't have 2 catches. It can't happen.
I mean, I don't care who's on the other side. He's not as good one-on-one than Devontae Adams. He's got to play. You got to give him the ball. And it's really, he was the lowest receiving guy on the team behind everybody. on this team, and it's unacceptable. That, I believe, goes on. That has to go on Derek Carr.
Has to.
He's not open. I mean, he cannot not be open, but you got to give him the ball. He had 7 targets. He couldn't find him. And it's weird. They had the Mac Hollins came out a lot in this game, which is strange. I mean, I don't know. This Raiders team, they got to start stringing wings together that should win. They weren't really pressured too much in this game. Everything was on their side. They had everything going their way early, and they just gave up, it looked like, in my opinion. And the Cardinals took advantage.
Yeah, this week they go to Tennessee, who just got absolutely embarrassed by Buffalo. And I know Tennessee's 0-2, and they weren't expected to be 0-2. So, you know, they're going to come out, you know, with some fire to win this game. But, you know, I said it earlier about Cincinnati. I think it's the same way for Vegas. I think this is a must-win. I know you're in Tennessee. It's a tough place to play, Derrick Henry. But, you know, you can't go 0-3 in this division and, you know, expect to, you know, still be in it at the end of the day. I mean, the Chiefs aren't slowing down. Like,
yeah, no.
For me, it's a must-win in Tennessee.
This is the only sport where you get must-win games early in the year. I mean, there's must-win games. You don't play a ton of games. I mean,
look at the Phillies. They started off, the Phillies, the rough stretch they had in the beginning of the year. Now, yeah, now they're fighting back in it. You have plenty of time,
to turn your season around.
You don't have that in the NFL,
and especially in their division. Exactly. And they can't get too far behind. They got to start getting wins. I'm not sure who the AFC West plays division-wise, the other division. Because I know every year, certain teams play division. I don't know if you can look it up real quick for me and let me know what division that they play. But I know there's winnable games in the schedule. When I look at the schedule before the season for the Raiders and I picked them to win division, I saw games that they should absolutely win now with this offense. But who knows, man? Who really knows? It's the NFL's a weird league, but it is what it is. The Cardinals, they did what they had to do late, and credit to them, they're going to try to float around until Hopkins gets back, until they get this all figured out and their team gets healthy. But until then, whew, it's a big win for them. It's a surprising win, but it's a big win.
Yeah. No, definitely.
There's only really one more game I want to at least float around to, or maybe two. If you want to touch on the Indianapolis Colts game versus the Jaguars, I mean, they just fell flat. They don't. Matt Ryan looks awful.
I bet you're wishing you still had Carson Wentz right now. You know,
he's not the problem. He's not the problem. The quarterbacks aren't the problem there. They went through 3 in 3 years and done nothing still. It's something with the core. Something's going on with the core, and yeah. I don't know what it is.
You're right. No, you're right. You're right. Really, really embarrassing.
That's honestly a putrid loss.
Embarrassing. And, you know, you're hosting the Chiefs, you know,
good luck
next week. So you're going to be 0-3. And,
good luck.
You know, you in this offseason, you made a big deal out of, you know, saying how, you know, much more improved you thought you were. And, you know, to almost be a shoo-in to be 0-3 now at this point with, you know, the Jaguars and the Texans, two of those losses. Really embarrassing if you're the Colts.
Yeah, I agree. So I want to wrap this up here shortly. I'm going to go over a few games we haven't touched and just one big takeaway thing from each game. Mm-hmm. Falcons Rams. Anything about that game stood out to you? Yeah. 31-27 Falcons. I mean 31-27 Rams. Falcons came back in this game.
Yes. Stafford and Kupp looked good again. You know, the offense seemed to, you know, find their way again. Atlanta came back late, but it's again two teams in a different class.
Yeah.
You know, Rams took the pedal off. It was good to see the offense look good again after, you know, the rough Buffalo game.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think the Rams are good. They'll be totally okay. You know, it's just a week one. You play a tough Bills team week one, get the kinks out. It happens. Falcons fought back. Nothing to worry about. And then you move on to week three. What else we got? You said Tennessee, the Buffalo game. They get embarrassed. Buffalo put up 41. They still look incredible. They look like a Super Bowl favorite to me.
Yes, they do.
Still in. They're not letting up.
I was a little bit of a hater coming into the year about Buffalo, but they really proved me wrong. At least for 2 weeks, they really proved me wrong.
I agree. There's nothing really we can say about him. Josh Allen's still playing MVP level again.
And Derrick Henry's got to figure it out.
Hey, he's got to figure it out quickly, because if he's not going to do nothing, this Tennessee team is in trouble. Vikings-Philly.
Hey, man, Philly looks like a powerhouse offensively. I mean, you know, running the football, they look like a powerhouse to me. You know, I'm not even trying to, you know, kiss ass, you know, on a Philly podcast. They look really good to me. I hate saying that as a Commanders fan. They're playing my Commanders this week. I'm a little worried to see, you know, what this, you know, bad, you know, Washington defense is going to be able to do. Carson, you know, obviously playing Philadelphia for the first time, but you know, Philly won this game handedly. Minnesota did not look good, and you know, once again, offensively, you know, really good start to the year for Jalen Hurts and the offense. They look really good.
Yeah, I feel the same. I'm always going to critique him a little bit more because obviously I'm a Phillies fan, but yeah. They look good. Jalen Hurts looks really, really good. His arm, surprisingly, he used the middle of the field, which he didn't do much at all last year. Had a couple big throws. He looks really good. Devontae Smith, good to see him get back in the offense, look good. A.J. Brown, did A.J. Brown things. Dallas Goedert did his thing. And you're right, Miles Sanders still looks strong. But they scored 24 points in his first half, didn't score in the second half, which they left a lot of points out there in this game. I don't know if it was just they kept the foot off the pedal, which I think they did a little bit. But they left a lot of points out there. They had an interception late. But, I mean, the 24-7 is impossible without Darius Slay looking like a legit CB1 again. And that's always fun to see.
The other thing is they kept the two big guns on Minnesota's offense in check. I mean, Justin Jefferson did not have a Justin Jefferson game. And Dalvin Cook was pitiful.
Yeah, he was bad.
6 for 17, 2.8 a carry.
He was bad.
You know, defensively, they also look really good. You know, the first week, you know, Detroit put up a lot of points, you know, at the end of the game. But, you know, we saw, you know, their offense might be that, you know, through these 2 weeks. So, defensively, a really good output for Philadelphia, too. And they look really good.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. Thank you, Kirk Cousins. In primetime, it's always a free win. He gets a play in primetime.
Yep.
Hasn't won in years. But I think it's going to wrap it up for us. It was a decently long one today, but it was a good one. It's once you get more into the season, the games become a little bit more fun. The team starts to look better. You get to see better quality football games. And, I mean, one game you got to go back to is that Baltimore game. Incredible, incredible game to see as a football fan. But any other words here? We'd say Commanders, Eagles coming up.
Yeah, Carson Wentz playing the Eagles for the first time, you know, since leaving Philly. I told you this before. I kind of wish this first game that they're playing of the year was in Philadelphia. I feel like that's kind of gonna, you know, off put a little bit of what, you know, Philly fans are gonna give to Wentz. I think they're still gonna give it to him, but I think it would have been a little bit more juicy if the first game that they played was in Philadelphia. But still, I mean, we're gonna see how Carson reacts, and Philadelphia is obviously the better football team right now. So, you know, hopefully, you know, they don't get caught up in the Carson Wentz stuff. That's for the fans to do. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you know, they stick to their plan. They have a job to do. They're the better football team. And, you know, even though I hate to say it, they should win that game.
I agree. I think they should win that game. I think there's always going to be a little extra juice now, like you said, with you know, being the whole Carson Wentz Eagles thing, and he's going to have that in the back of his head. I'm interested to see real quick what you think. Do you think his first game in Philly, when they come in Philly late, like week 8 or week 11, whatever it is, do you think he's going to get booed, cheered, mixture of both, or do you think, you know, Philly fans are going to be ruthless and they, you know, they kill grudges and he's going to just get booed?
I think they're going to be ruthless. I mean, yeah. because the way it ended wasn't sweet.
Right,
I mean,
right.
You know, Philadelphia is a, you know, if you're good there, it's the best place to be, and if you're bad there, it's the worst place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Though, you know, those fans love their teams.
Passionate fans, man.
You know, almost, you know, probably, you know, as much, if not more than any other fan base.
Or their wife or something.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like, I think they're going to give it to him. And, I, you know, to be honest with you, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's well-deserved. I mean, you know, he ended sourly at the end. And, you know, I know he was good for them, you know, for a little bit, but you know, I think they're definitely going to give it to him. I don't think they're gonna hold up at all. And I think throughout the whole game, even if it's a blowout, you know, towards the end, I think they're gonna give it to him the whole game. And then, you know, especially in Philly when it's mostly, you know, Philly fans, mm-hmm. you're gonna hear it. It's gonna be rough. For Carson.
I'm a little bit different. I mean, I think they're gonna give it to him. I don't want to give it to the guy. I respect Carson for what he did do successfully. I mean, 2017 is nothing without Carson Wentz playing in MVP
level. Which you said before,
and I'm sure that's the only Super Bowl in this team's history. And anyone that got to witness that should absolutely take that and be so grateful for it. And, you know, and especially in that town, like, they love their football teams. So when I think they should respect
the
player.
I'm sure you're not the only Eagles fan.
Oh no, like, I'm sure as well.
The crazy ones are the minority. You know, in any fan base, but you know.
Yeah,
I do think it's gonna go to him. Packers Buccaneers. Last thing, you know, next week, you know, big game. Obviously, we talked about the decimated, you know, Tampa Bay defense. I mean, offense. Does Aaron Rodgers go in there and get a win, or you know, does the GOAT go to 3-0 with a decimated offense?
I think Green Bay wins that game.
Okay.
I think
that's juicy.
It's juicy, and I love it. I think Aaron Rodgers just looks better. And, you know, I don't know. I think the Packers just are better right now, functionally, with just everything going on right now in Tampa, with Tom and that offense and the injuries and all over the place. And as much as I think that defense is good, Aaron Rodgers is very good. They're playing Jameis Winston and Dak Prescott and Cooper Rush, like, or Dak Prescott, just Dak Prescott. And he's, you know, no slouch, of course, but I think Aaron Rodgers will go in there, take care of some good business, show the world that, you know, he's still there. The Green Bay Packers can do it without Devontae Adams. And I don't know. I think it's going to be a fun game to watch for sure. It might be a low-scoring game, but I think it'll be a fun game. Definitely.
I'm taking the GOAT, man. There's one guy in sports you don't bet against, and especially when he's playing Aaron Rodgers because he owns Aaron Rodgers. I'm taking the Buccaneers.
Fair enough. That's fair enough. I mean, you know, easy way out, I understand. The easy way out is to go. I totally understand. But I think that's about to do it for us, man. It's been a fun one, definitely. One last thing. I'm going to actually mention this to you now on the podcast. Since the Commanders and the Eagles play this weekend, is there a, you know, you want to see if we can make something work this weekend and get just a one-on-one Commanders-Eagles just podcast out for the world, if we can make it work?
Yeah, I'd love to. I mean, I'm sure your Philadelphia fans wouldn't love, you know, all the insight into the Commanders right now, but I would, you know, certainly love to come on and give it to them. So
cool. Sounds good to me. All right, that'll do it. I appreciate everyone for listening. And until next time, it's been a pleasure, and we'll see you. Thank you.